Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk number 100. When you consider we've done 250 shows, our last episode last week was episode 250, by the way, to start our to start our 12th year, and so if you add 250 and 100, that's 350 weeks that we've been doing this show.
Yeah, baby.
We must be doing something right. VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, the home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, the folks who bring you Source Connect. VOHeroes.com. Become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. VoiceActor.com. Your voiceover website ready in minutes. VoiceOver Extra. Your daily resource for voiceover success. And by World Voices, the industry association of freelance voice talent. And now, here's your hosts, Dan and George. So, we got lots of stuff going on here. We were at VO Atlanta last week, and I think you've got some video from that. But, we're here to talk about home voiceover studios. And why do we talk about home voiceover studios? Because clearly nobody seems to understand them, especially if you're new to the business or you've been a voice actor for a good long time, but you always went into somebody else's studio. You were talent. Yeah. I was talent.
There's a lot of misinformation that is being spread and confusing people like crazy.
Yeah. And we want to straighten it out. We don't want to give you misinformation. We want to give you the stuff that we know works. And what works, it's different for everybody. I'm going to talk about that a little later on when we finish with your tech update. The fact is, we know what's happening. We've seen everything. At least we think we have. Until we've seen something we haven't seen before, and then we get a question we haven't gotten before. And of course, trying equipment that we haven't tried before and seeing if it really works to help your workflow as a voice actor. So where do you go for all that help? Well, you can work with either one of us. If you want to work with George and have him teach you what it takes to build a really good studio, where do they go?
You head over to georgethe.tech and you can work with me and a bunch of others, actually, now, including Dan. There is a wide array of services available to you now. And if you go over there at georgethe.tech and look in the services area, you'll notice there's a lot in there, right? That's because we have services specific to different softwares, right? So if you are an Adobe Audition user, you can book time with one of our team members who is a pro at using Adobe Audition. And you'll see their schedule and be able to book time with them whenever suits your schedule. It's really amazing to have such a great team of people available to help you out, as well as all of our webinar content. And next month, Reaper is coming up. We're going to be teaching Reaper for those who really want to get complicated. So anyway, that's us over at georgethe.tech. And meanwhile, Dan's got his home on the web over at
homevoiceoverstudio.com. Yeah, we got lots of cool stuff over there. You know, my philosophy, which, you know, I can go on about forever. Everything is physical. But we also have the Specimen Collection Cup there. And if you want to have your audio analyzed, send it to me. $25, I will give you your audio, a very thorough analysis. See if it's up to snuff. And if it's not, we'll make it snuffable. I guess that's one way to put it. All you have to do is go over to homevoiceoverstudio.com. And if you want to work with me and get a consultation on how to build your studio or fix something, you can go over there and contact me directly. So go do that. Well, okay, so we're going to start off our 100th show. How much has changed over 100 episodes of this? I think my mustache has gotten a lot whiter.
We all have more gray, that's for sure. And there's more tech coming out all the time with more different colored LED lights on it. But really, a good studio mic, good acoustics, and good performance, That's about 90%, and that 90% hasn't really changed.
Yeah, really. All right. So what do you got in your tech update this week? I think we're talking with starting off with something that somebody was asking about.
The first thing in my tech update, is a product from Centrence called the Passport VO. And so what this thing is an audio interface that, to be completely straight with you, was really truly designed for voiceover actors. I mean, I'm saying it out loud right now, and I almost have to pinch myself. I've been wanting to help design and bring to life an audio interface that's really designed for voiceover acting for many, many years. I've just found it to be an area of pro audio that's been woefully underserved. Our friend Harlan Hogan has done a fantastic job of trying to serve the industry in so many different ways, from the porta booth, the VO1A microphone, the voiceover headphones, which actually I'm using now. And I really, in this context, doing live I like the way I sound better than I do on my buyers.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's saying a lot.
In live performance. In playback, I have different thoughts, but in performance, like we are now, broadcast streaming, I'm liking these the way I sound. It definitely makes me feel clear and clean and present. But the point is that there just hasn't been anything out there that's really got a lot of nuanced features that suit the voiceover user. And let's be honest, like a lot of you that are beginners may not need something that has the level of flexibility and complexity of this guy, the Passport VO. It's called Passport because it was a co-developed venture between the Pro Audio Suite podcast crew, the four of us, and Michael Goodman of Centrence. And we came together over a few months. We surveyed our everybody that we could get a hold of to tell us what you're looking for. And at the end, this is essentially what all of you asked for, at least the top 60%. This is what was the most voted on in terms of features, as well as one or two features that maybe nobody asked for because they didn't even occur to them. So we have a few curveballs in there. But one of those things is the record channel 2 source switch. There's this little button at the very bottom. It's a black switch. It's going to allow you to choose what you record on channel 2. Channel 2 is like this unused input that nobody uses because your mic's plugged into channel 1 and you're recording a mono track most of the time. What could we do with channel 2 then? It's like a hidden feature. This lets you choose. You can have channel 2 be a safety track where it records 12 dB lower, so you have some safety margins before clipping. It could be what actually is plugged into mic 2, which makes it work now like a Scarlett 2i2 or any two-channel interface. Or it can be used to record what comes back from communications. And that means you are now able to do podcast production and record the caller on Zoom or Source Connect. Or you can just use it to record your coach. You know, you get coached on Zoom all the time. You want to capture what the coach is saying. Flick that switch to comms and you're recording your coach or whoever's on the remote end. So just a lot of tools that we want to make sure are easy to exploit for voiceover. I don't want this to be too much of an infomercial right now. We're going to have time to do that more next week. But, or actually, by the time you guys are seeing this in replay this week is really when this product is supposed to be starting on its pre-sale. So I'll just wrap it up here by saying, stay tuned. Watch the proaudiosuite.com website for more information. It will be actually on sale on the Centrence website in their store, and you'll be able to start buying it next week, or actually for those watching it live next week, for those watching the replay this week. And it's going to be $699, and we have to sell 100 units up front in order to get this thing produced.
Guess so I got to buy one.
I know there's so many of us I would like to give one to. Like, there ain't no gibbies this time. We have to all buy one. It's a group effort to make this thing exist, and we're really proud of it. So anyway, that's the Passport VO, and if you want to know more about it, well, just let us know. We'll fill you in, and stay tuned at theproaudiosuite.com. All right, coming up in my queue here. Oh, one more thing. Oh my gosh, if I hadn't said this. If you saw this on the show, if you do decide to buy one of these units, please use VOBS when you check out. It won't change the price, but what it will do is let Centrance know you saw it here, and then you will be, and by doing so, you will be supporting us, the show. You'll be supporting the show by using VOBS coupon code if you do pre-sale buy one. So thank you in advance. Coming up next, also the Rodecaster Pro 2 is now physically in my studio, and it's actually what I'm using tonight to do the show. Now, it's so funny that on the heels of my the product I've helped design, I'm talking about another product. Both products are about the same price. Almost, well, they are the same price. They're both $699. And if you look at them on paper, you go, wait a minute, why is this thing also $699? Why is this little simple basic analog portable thing $699? And why is this super complicated covered in LED lights and touchscreens also $699? Well, the Rodecaster Pro 2 is clearly targeted to production of voiceover, podcasting and live streaming,
yeah,
with up to four people in the same room at the same time, with the ability to add more people coming in remotely, all in one live show. And it can be live recorded, it can be live streamed, it can be recorded multi-track, and it can be recorded multi-track internally to the unit. It has a record button right on the unit. Very clever. Dan's been using one on his end of the studio, the original version, for quite a long time. And the new one just takes everything that the original one had and takes it to 11. It's got more microphone preamp gain, way more. It's got flexible faders that you can choose what signal comes up on which fader. It's got better routing for your headphones and your studio monitors. It takes everything that if you had the first one, you said, it would be nice if, and now this one has it. It's crazy. So it's an impressive piece of kit. Does a voiceover actor need it? No. If they made a version half the price, half the size, with half the features, but all the stuff that I like, then I would say go buy that.
Yeah.
But looks they like, didn't, and yeah, they won't, and that's why we made the Passport VO.
Well, both have a workflow for voiceover. Now, the Procaster is really designed for podcasting, but the first time I saw it, it was like, this would be very nice for voiceover and for the other things that I do, and teaching and webinars and and that sort of thing.
But yeah, if you do things like beyond voiceover, and you are doing other things, other types of production, live streams, webinars, teaching, podcasting, then the Rodecaster is quite a piece of kit. Again, it's got three more mic preamps than most people would need. It has sound effect pads that you don't really need but are fun. It's got all these bells and whistles on it that make it fun to play with. But at the end of the day, the additional functionality can get in your way when you're in a live session as a voice actor and you may want something simpler, and that's where something that contrasts against it, like the Centrance Passport VO, comes into play, because you have only what you need without distracting features and no software control panels, firmware updates, or anything to sort of burden you with complexity. So very different ideas to get down a similar functionality that you might need. Moving on. So Waves, some of you may use Waves plugins. If you do use Waves plugins, then you already know what I'm about to talk about because this piece of news made a huge splash, and splash meaning like a poop landing in a bowl of water, kind of a splash. It did not go over well at all. And what they said they were going to do was make all of the licenses from here, this day forward, be subscription only. You have to have a subscription to get any current or updated version of your software. End of story, full stop. And people spoke. And Waves listened. And so a week later, they made a total about face. And that is no longer going to be the case. You will be able to buy Waves plugins. You can buy them a la carte. You can buy them. And when you do buy them, they are what they call perpetual licenses. And so you're not going to have a subscription to continue using Waves plugins that you already come to know and love and depend upon, like Clarity. So don't freak out. There was a lot of that happening. We don't need to freak out anymore because they really did listen. They really did pedal it back, and they made good. They made good. So kudos Waves. I sorry that they made such a misstep in terms of marketing and promotion and kind of decision making in terms of how they would market and sell their product, but they listened and they did change. So there you go. Anyway, moving on to a couple more things, a couple pair of headphones. One of them I got to try at the VO Atlanta, and I have a quick video package that we can throw up here. And the other one is a pair I actually have physically in my hot little hands from Rode, because they were nice enough to give, along with the Rodecaster Pro 2 that they let us take home from VO Atlanta, they did also give me a pair of their NTH-100 headphones. And my quick take on the NTH-100 headphones is a beautiful piece of engineering, really, really nicely made, very comfortable on my ears, but the sound characteristic, the EQ curve, is not familiar to me. It's too different from anything else that I own for me to adopt using them right away. These might be best for me if I was to use them while I'm actually producing a show live. Just like the Harlan Hogan cans, I like listening to myself speak through them live, but I wouldn't want to make an EQ judgment when I'm tuning EQ because I know my other headphones better. I feel kind of like the same way about these. They have a unique sound to them, and that might be good for a performance or good for people doing live announce, but maybe lesser so for editing. It's up to you, and it's what you're used to hearing, and you have to wear them to find out, but really nicely designed, very heavy duty, removable cord, which I think should be the norm nowadays, right? And you can put them on both sides. There's a party trick. They put the plug on both sides. Cooling gel ear pads, which is pretty cool. It really does help pull the heat away from your skin. So really interesting cans. I want to play around with them some more. Maybe I'll do some of my live shows with them and see how they work for live production. But their EQ is just too different for me to use for my critical listening type stuff. And lastly, speaking of headphones, the Audio-Technica ATH-M50X-STS has been released recently. A very interesting pair of headphones. And I have a video to accompany that. If you would spool that up, Sue.
Hey, this is George the Tech. I'm here at VO Atlanta 2023 inside the Tri Booth, and I'm getting to try something that's new to me. That's really interesting. It's an Audio-Technica headphone, the very well-loved ATH-M50 headphones, with a little extra party trick, a boom microphone. Not just any boom microphone capsule, it's the same capsule as in the 20 series microphones. That's right, it's the same capsule as in the AT2020. So now you've got a good quality condenser capsule that's built into your headphones. So think about what you could do with this. You could record audiobooks in a comfortable chair, sitting back, relaxed, not with a microphone that you have to constantly address at the exact right placement. You can be relaxed and record in a comfortable way. You can physically move around while you're recording in very high quality with really high quality audio, and get really consistent sound. That's the other thing, consistent audio as you move around your space. And I think that's a really compelling thing. It's something I've been advocating for quite a while, is why not have a headset mic when you record voiceover? But most of them weren't up to the task. The fidelity wasn't very good. They're pretty noisy. They're made for sports casting. This one, I think, well, you guys be the judge. I think it works pretty well. Thanks to Eric, who let me borrow these and do this quick little test. And you can mute them at any time by doing this. Now the microphone is off. And now the microphone is on. Really clever design. XLR and quarter inch. That's how it plugs in. So it'll plug into standard pro audio gear. And they have a USB version of it as well, which I'm actually interested in because I work on my laptop constantly and I need high-end headphones with a mic. Very clever. Audio-Technica killing it with these amazing new headphones with a mic.
All right.
Yeah. Did you notice the boom microphone mute didn't actually work?
It started to, or you had
a gate on there. I had some processing to try to deal with the high background noise in there. But yeah, it it didn't cut it off. So I don't know if I pulled it up, didn't pull it up far enough to mute the mic, but it didn't actually.
Do it until it clicks. That's usually the indication.
I guess that's what it is. But anyway, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a first of all, I love Audio-Technica headphones. I'm a headphone junkie, as you guys have probably figured out by now. And the fact that you can have a, albeit a very low-end condenser capsule, still a quality condenser mic capsule built into the boom of the mic, a headset, was, I thought, really cool idea. And I think for people doing live podcast or doing a long form narration, e-learning, or audiobooks, I think it could be really nice to use.
Yeah, it'd be comfortable to have that. And you don't have to worry about constantly, you know, you're getting your mic is in the right position all the time. And, you know, and of course, it's very important for gamers because apparently that's what gamers do. I wouldn't know.
I'm too old for that stuff. They have a USB version of this, for, I would say, is definitely gamer suited. So it'll plug directly into a PC or Mac. And I think that would be a no brainer.
Very good. All right. Well, I wanted to talk about something that I always say, and that is every room is different. If we get down to the basics here, I get a lot of email from people saying, hey, what do? I have a room. Well, that's great. We all have rooms somewhere, but every room is different. There is no one-size-fits-all answer to creating a home voiceover studio because rooms are made out of different materials. Everybody's voice is different. Everybody's using a different microphone, even though they, you know, I'm still not convinced that, you know, all these microphone selections really have very little to do with voiceover. It has a lot more to do with making music and stuff. And there's a few microphones that are really good for doing voiceover. But when it comes to the room selection is really, really important because as we know, what's my main philosophy? Keeping sound out and making sure that there's no reverberation inside the space that you're recording. And of course, proper microphone technique and setting your levels. Setting your levels, I think that's going to be a whole new discussion when we start talking about some of the other things that we can when it comes to voiceover recording gear. But some rooms have, you know, in old houses, you got walls that are still plaster. Most of them are drywall, and some of them have 10 coats of paint on them. You've got to be able to find the right space, one that is quiet. And I've come to the conclusion that is literally impossible in a home studio unless you have an actual booth that really cuts out the exterior noise. So you've got to find a quiet room, preferably one that is perhaps in the back of your house or apartment, not on the street, not in the landing glide zone for an airport or takeoff. Because I know people that are right below the Santa Monica Airport. It's like, how do you record here? But if you can enclose yourself in something and seal it up, that's really the key to keeping noise out. And if it's got heavy walls. For those of you living in the East or in the Northeast, a basement is a great place. And you can actually build your own thing down there, your own studio, but from scratch. Or if you have a closet in a basement, that also works really great. Just turn off the furnace and all the other mechanicals and make sure you turn the back on when you're done. Also, how do you treat a room like that? There's no one size fits all for that as well. When I go into somebody's house or apartment and they're like, how's this room? If it's a closet full of clothes, that's fabulous. It's amazing because nothing absorb sound like a closet full of clothes. Go into your walk-in closet and start talking, and you'll notice it's a lot quieter in there. So make sure you do that. Find the room and learn how to listen for exterior noise. And that really takes just maybe a little bit of Zen time where you go, what can I hear? Can I hear the refrigerator? No one recognizes that the refrigerator is there, because your brain's probably tuned it out, or air conditioning, or heating, or all sorts of noises that can happen in an apartment building or in your house. So that's the first thing you got to do, is you've got to find someplace really, really quiet. I know a lot of people say, well, I can use I can use this filter and that filter and those filters. I think if you're doing stuff live, if you have to do a lot of remote sessions and stuff like that, yeah, you have to have that type of stuff if you don't have a quiet space to record. But it's much easier to do auditions and stuff from a place that's really, really quiet. Acoustically treating it, it depends. Generally, I have to listen. That's George, that's like one of the weirdest things about what we do. Somebody says, I got a buzz. I got a hum. I got this noise. I've got this thing. And it's like, yeah, so everybody hears differently. And I think that's been proven. Everybody's, you know, their ears are all different. They all perceive things a little bit differently.
You use different headphones too. So you hear things differently than other people in different headphones.
Absolutely. So what you need to do is send us something. If you have a question about if it sounds good, send George or I some audio, because usually, while you may not be able to hear it, it takes us 5 seconds to know what's going on in your room. If it's noisy, if it's reverberant, if you're not using your microphone properly, all those things we can find out very, very quickly if we hear it, which is why I have the specimen collection cup in my at my website. And you know, that really is what works. Or if you're working with George, you have to send us the actual audio so we can tell what it is. And generally we can tell if the room is acoustically treated, if it's quiet, or if you're in an empty room.
Or if you're in a 4x4 whisper room with the stock foam that it comes with.
Which
got to listen to that one today again.
It sounds like a tube.
It sounds pretty boxy.
Yeah.
Not very good.
Yeah. I mean, and everybody describes these things very differently as well.
Right.
Like, are you in a tube? Is it tinny? Is it, you know, sometimes people have like those lights with a bell sort of housing on it. And they're like, I get this ringing sound. I'm like, do you have one of those lights with the bell? Yeah. Get rid of it. And all of a sudden the ringing goes away. That's called experience. That's doing this for a long time and hearing everything that can go on. So it's important to find the quietest space. That solves so many problems and prevents us and you from doing a lot of additional stuff to make that room usable. So there's no one size fits all. We got to hear it and we have to see what exactly and hear what exactly is going on in that room, because every room is different. Every voice is different.
Mm-hmm.
George, your thoughts?
I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, I've heard of 10 or 20 4x4 whisper rooms, they're pretty predictable, right? It's a product with the same size, and I start to get an idea of what works in those, right? So I don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. But everybody's closet's a different size. Everything has its own unique set of challenges. So it's still a very non-formulaic solution. And the other reason for that is I've got all these books over here, which you can't see, on acoustics, and not a single one of these books has how do you tune a 4x4 booth or a small closet. Not a one. None of them know how to do this. None of them studied it. None of them have models based in mathematics on how to tune small rooms. It's a unique niche of things that we have spent a lot of time doing our best to perfect, and so that's why it's such a unique thing.
Yeah. So if you're trying to set up a room or you're moving or something like that, always look for a room that is really, really quiet or a closet that's big enough for you to actually fit in. We've seen some people squashed into some small spaces. Yeah. If you have an extra room, a spare bedroom, something like that, it can be very, very useful. An outbuilding, maybe you have a she shed. Or a man cave or something like that that's tough away shed. From the street. Yeah, tough shed is great. Something along those lines. If you can isolate yourself from the house and from street noise, that's a great thing. Anyway, we got a lot of questions we're going to get to in the next half hour, so don't go away. We got lots to come here on VoiceOver Body Shop. We'll be right back.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam. VOBS.TV.
As voice actors, we need to hear the clear, transparent, and honest sound of our voices. Harlan Hogan Signature Series Voice Optimized Headphones 2.0 provide both that accurate, transparent sound with enhanced mid-range audio, less bass, and the creature comforts voice workers deserve. Clearly different from traditional studio headphones, the upper mids and highs are clear as a bell. No muffling or cross-bleeding between frequencies. Like a pair of studio monitors, the low is there, but at the same level as the rest of the spectrum. They're comfortable like no other phones I've worn. That's because Harlan used actual leather for the pads. It's like putting on a pair of leather gloves for your ears. They're also very light for their size, as Harlan made them from aluminum instead of plastic. The headband is flexible like a watch band, and the plug comes out for walking away. Get the only headphones designed for VO, Harlan Hogan's Signature Series Voice Optimized Headphones 2.0, for just $149 with free shipping from voiceoveressentials.com.
Hey, another spot, and this time we're talking about Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, and a lot of other tools coming down the pipeline, including their most currently updated version of Nexus, which really allows studios to interact with their clients and their talent in a more seamless way. It's pretty amazing. This tool allows studios or anybody that has to produce and record other talent route audio in and out of their DAWs very painlessly in a very logical way. It's really, really well designed. But honestly, the voice actors out there, you're the ones that really want to pay attention to what's going on with Source Connect. I have a video about it on my website. That goes into a lot of informational depth. I mean, this video has been out since the beginning of the pandemic, 3 years. People are still watching it, telling them, thank you for doing this video. I now understand it better. Since then, if you go to source-elements.com, they have created a lot of educational content on Source Connect, what it does, who it's for, how it works, how you get it, and what's it cost? Well, it doesn't have to cost anything. To get started, you can get a 15-day free trial, or you can also do what they have a special little 2-day license thing. So if you don't want to commit to a subscription or buy out the license for life, yes, you can get these little 2-day licenses. Ask them how, and they'll show you. It's a great way to make a client happy when you need to, especially when you don't think you're going to be using it very often. Anyway, thanks, Source Elements. Let's get on to those questions right after this next spot.
Hey, it's David H. Lawrence, the 17th, and we talk a lot in this business about moving forward with our career, getting more information. We often don't talk about simply getting started. It can be one of the most immovable objects in our life, getting out of our own way and just simply taking the first step. And if you're watching this podcast, VoiceOver Body Shop, for some tips on how to get started in voiceover, or to change something about your voiceover career, or to increase your knowledge in a certain area, check out VOHeroes.com's Getting Started in VoiceOver. If you go to VOHeroes.com/start, you'll get all the information. It's really cheap. And I give you a lot to get started in the business, but you might also learn something if you've been in the voiceover business for a while. VOHeroes.com/start. That's VOHeroes.com/start.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
All right, welcome back to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk. Number 100. Put that up again, Sue.
Boo, 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 boo.
Okay. That's a lot of tech talk. That's 100 hours of tech talk. I mean, where else are you going to get all this stuff, you know? And one of the favorite things we do about Tech Talk is we take your questions. And,
sure do.
And we got a bunch of them today, so why don't we get into those?
Okay.
Yeah. Here's one that was left over from last week from Derek Tsai. Starting out as a voice actor, I have the Audio-Technica AT2020 and a Scarlett Solo 3rd Gen and record in a wardrobe. I think that means a closet.
Could be a closet.
It could be like a chiffon robe. Something along, like they sell those things at IKEA. Mm-hmm. with two GIK acoustic spot panels behind me, with a curtain to cover the top to treat the space, with a noise floor of around minus 60 to minus 54 dB, we'll be the judge of that. I have a gain knob turned up 60 to 70%, but my recording levels are around minus 28 to minus 21 dB. When you explain what that means. So every time I record, I amplify it plus 5 to 7 dB in Adobe Audition. Is this just the nature of the mic interface, simply not speaking loud enough, or am I doing something wrong? I have the mic positioned upside down at eye level, about 6 inches. The hardware is all brand new and the latest drivers installed. Chances are, well, Chris, the first question is Mac or PC?
He said drivers.
That drivers. Usually means that means does. PC.
Usually.
Okay. Usually, yeah. I mean, there aren't a lot of drivers for stuff in on a Mac.
Right.
Chances are there's a number of things that could be going on here.
Well, 60% is not very high on a Scarlett.
No, that's true. There's a lot more. You got a lot more gain in there, especially if you've got a third gen. I mean, those things have a lot of gain to them. Two things that I would suggest. One, not be 6 inches from the mic. Maybe be 3 inches to the mic. Remember the rule of three. If it's a really tiny room, it's a fist. If it's a, you know, a good sized room that's, you know, like a small bedroom or something, it's a fist and thumbs up. And if you're in a larger room, like the room I'm in, you can do mahalo.
Yeah, you can get away with a further distance. The better, the bigger and better sounding the room is, yeah.
Exactly. But the room's got to sound good. But yeah. Chances are there's two things there. One, you're probably too far from the mic, especially in AT2020, which is not the most sensitive of the studio condenser mics.
Yeah.
And two, you might play with being a little bit closer. And so turn up your gain, get a little bit closer, and I'll bet you can get yourself back up to where he should be. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't be afraid to goose up the gain a little bit if it's necessary. Experiment with mic placement and distance. But don't be so worried about what the recorded levels look like anymore. With 24-bit recording, you can record raw audio with levels that need to be amplified 5 to 10 dB or even more sometimes, and not worry about an inordinate amount of noise being added to the audio. If the noise is in the environment, well, whatever you do to adjust the levels later will adjust the noise too, right? So whether you add gain from the preamp or normalize later or amplify later, whatever that noise is will also come up. So you're not saving yourself by recording low levels. So it's generally accepted these days with 24-bit. If you're peaking somewhere in the yellow range on the VU meter, your recording meter is in your software. If you're in the yellow, you can kind of let it mellow. You know, don't worry too much. We're going to normalize or boost the level in post and not even worry about that as much as we used to with 16-bit recording and older analog gear.
All right. Next question is from Ed Moskowitz. You can get this one because 32-bit float is a whole interesting discussion.
It's getting a lot of press lately, isn't it?
It sure is.
Ed asks, in regards to the 32-bit float discussion, in film and TV post and production, it has been debated for quite a while. With manufacturers like Sound Devices having the option, many of the studios were, perhaps, that has changed now, not yet capable of dealing with 32-bit float. I'm assuming 32-bit float files. So the question is, are more studios now ready to utilize tracks recorded in 32-bit? In production at this stage of the game, a lot of file recordings are, a lot of the field, I guess I should say field recordings, are done in 32-bit. So what's my opinion? Well, you need to deliver the files in the format that the client wants. So if you're saying that post isn't wanting 32-bit files, then what you're surmising is that no, it's not part of workflow for them yet. They don't want to take 32-bit float files. So if you're recording in 32-bit float, which is fine if you have the technology to properly capture it, which most of you do not yet, but if you have the equipment to record 32-bit float, if your software is capable of doing it and your Mac is set up to record it, because sorry folks, you on PC cannot record and capture in 32-bit float yet, then yes, go ahead, but deliver the files in whatever format the client wants. That might be 24-bit WAV. More commonly, that's probably going to be 16-bit WAV files. So capture in high resolution, that's fine. Deliver in the resolution that they want. But it is all about production workflow, and until 32-bit float becomes part of it, there's going to be no reason to record in that format.
Yeah. But we need to explain, what is the difference between 32-bit float and, say, 32-bit and, say, 24-bit? Because whenever you're setting up your file, you hit, new file, it'll come up, a dialog box will come up, and it'll say, you want this in, 16-bit, 24-bit, 32-bit, or 32-bit float. Yeah. Which, as you were saying, it doesn't work on a PC yet. I'm not sure why that is for Audition.
Yeah.
But, it's easy to do an Audition. You just record it in 32-bit float. What exactly does that mean?
Oh, man. Well, 32-bit float is an incredibly complex algorithm of mathematics, which is basically saying that there's 24 bits roughly of actual dynamic range, which, by the way, is a lot. It's plenty. And then there's 8 more bits that will allow you to shift that range of 24 bits up and down as needed, essentially allowing it to float up and down. So how it works in context, what it means in context of what we care about, is that with the right type of gear and set up correctly in your DAW and in your computer, you can record without having to worry about mic gain. Because the system has the ability to capture such an incredibly wide range of sound that the quietest stuff and the loudest stuff is all recorded without distortion or clipping. And that's the very, very short version of it. If you head over to Rode's website, or actually Rode's YouTube, type in 32-bit float NT1 and watch the most recent videos that they released, and it will do a really good job of explaining this more clearly, what this whole 32-bit float thing means. But in the short version of it is, if you're not set up with the right gear on a Mac at this time, there is zero reason to record anything in 32-bit float. Don't bother. All you're doing is making bigger files that take up more space. It's extra wasted data. It's totally unnecessary. I still say 24-bit should be the kind of the norm across the board. Don't worry about 32-bit float without the right equipment and workflow in your setup.
Yeah. All right. So I experimented with it this week,
mm-hmm.
I've been doing a 24-bit for a long time. I'm like, let me try 32. You cannot overmodulate it. And the thing is if you, even if you drive, your interface, in Adobe Audition.
What interface were you using?
I was using the Rodecaster.
Oh, the Rodecaster may have 32-bit float recording in it now. I don't know.
It may be, uh-huh. But I recorded it quiet. I recorded it loud, mm-hmm. and it came out fine either way. I think the point is, though, you got to have a quiet chain. You have to have a good quiet mic, like a Rode or a Neumann or something like that,
yep.
and an interface that is also very quiet.
Absolutely.
And if you've got white noise at a low level, if you normalize it to something else, it's still there.
It comes up.
So you gotta be careful with that. Mm-hmm. But I experimented with it a bit, and I must say it sounds pretty good at 32-bit float. And then I just delete the 32-bit float after I send off the MP3, so it doesn't take up room on there. Wow. Next question we have is from the one and only Jeff Holman. He says, my on-camera self-tape studio has hardwood floors, and my self-tapes have a hollow...
You'll have to brag, Jeff.
Yeah, really.
Right.
Echoey sound. Yes, they have a hollow echoey sound. What's the best way to better that, keeping in mind I can't have visible foam or sound panels in the shot? Put a rug down? Would a carpet pad help too? Is there a certain kind of rug or pad that would help the most? Go ahead. I have some thoughts on it, but you go ahead.
Sorry, you go first, then I'll go.
Okay, Hugo, I'll go first. In a voiceover booth, I'd say, people are like, I've got a cement floor. I got a wood floor. Should I put a rug down? Well, if you want, if you're barefoot, maybe. But I don't think the floor really has if you've got a solid floor, it's not affecting the sound at all in a smaller booth. In a larger space where you're doing self-taping for on-camera work, a rug always helps. Perhaps a nice shag rug although you'll probably end up tripping over some of the shag.
Not too shaggy.
Yeah. I mean, something that's got a... If you can diffuse the sound at the floor using something that has a lot of texture to it, that would probably help. Although, if you've ever been to a Grateful Dead concert, they're always on some oriental rug or something like that to make the stage not quite as reverberant.
and to keep the drums from sliding around.
That's right. and I think, Jeff, that, you know, if you're sending in self-tapes, they know you're in a room. They know you're not in a professional studio. They're looking to see how your acting is more than anything else. So I would say put down a rug. Let's see what it sounds like. And if it doesn't work, then we'll try something else.
I would also ask, what is your backdrop, Jeff? I mean, if your backdrop is just the drywall behind you, that's the worst possible case scenario. If the backdrop is a roll-down backdrop, then you can hide all kinds of stuff behind the roll-down backdrop because a lot of the sound is going to pass through the roll-down backdrop and it's going to bounce off the wall behind it. So you can hang a whole bunch of stuff on the wall behind the roll-down backdrop. You can put stuff everywhere that's not on frame. You can put two sets of ferny pads, you know, furniture blankets on stands on either side of the camera. There's all kinds of stuff you can do to kill off the reverb that isn't seen on camera. So, yeah, I would try a lot of these things, just scattering them around, just keeping them out of frame. And it's all going to improve as you add more and more damping to the space. But, yeah, just start with the basics. A nice 5x8, 8x, whatever room you have for a nice plush area throw rug. And that's going to make a big difference because your microphone is likely overhead and pointed down at the hardwood floor.
Right. Or use a lav mic. So you're close mic'd when you're doing a self-taping thing.
Yeah.
Also, if you've got, remember the camera's only pointing in one direction. If it's bouncing off the wall behind the camera, you can put all sorts of stuff on the wall behind the camera.
I'm hearing some ridiculous expectations from actors doing on camera now. I don't see why you'd have to worry ever about hiding a microphone, having to worry about it being in frame, or having a lav mic on. One of these new Rode VideoMic Go-To mics or the DJI mics that you can just attach to your shirt will help a big time in getting clean audio without reflection and bounce. So that might, at the end of the way, be just the easiest way to deal with it.
Yeah, that's the latest thing. Rode has that what is it, the Go the whatever mic. Go,
I think it's, oh yeah, the Rode, just the Go mic, the video.
Yeah.
The right, it's just a mic.
Right, yeah. It's just a thing you clip onto your pocket, and yeah, you know, and it has a wireless to through Bluetooth to your camera or to your phone.
Yeah, well, it has its own receiver.
Yeah,
DJI also has internal recording as well. So if you don't have a way to wirelessly send the audio to your phone easily, it will also just internally record too. So yeah, there's some really really cool mics in this space nowadays, totally wireless. And not cheap, but affordable. And if you're doing a lot of this kind of stuff, it's part of your career, then probably worthwhile investing in.
Yeah. But for voiceover, you don't need a rug on the floor.
Right.
Unless you're, you know, a wood floor. If you go into a lot of recording studios, what's on their floor? It's a wood floor. So yeah, they're not too worried about it. You're not talking down. You're talking this way, and that doesn't reflect off the floor very much.
Right.
Unless you have like a mirrored floor or something like that, that reflects light and sound.
Yeah, it's this holistic thing. It's just the ratio of hard versus soft surfaces, no matter where they are.
Right.
You know, if they're on the floor, the walls, even the ceiling, the more hard surface there is versus soft, the worse it's going to get. So
yep.
You got to just start sucking up that reverb wherever you can.
No question. All right, we got time for two more questions here. Jeremy Howard on YouTube says, I have a moving blanket VO booth about 4x2.5, so like this. And anybody out there that's more than 2.5 feet wide, they're pretty wide. And while there are no reflections, my male voice does seem to get a bit boomy in the space. Mm-hmm. Would you recommend bass traps and studio foam? And two, is there a setting where I can change the speed of the playback? Well, let's get to the speed of the playback in a second.
Okay.
When it comes to boomy, if you're in a blanket booth, and it depends on what you're using for blankets here, he doesn't say, oh, it's moving blankets. Remember, moving blankets definitely will diffuse and absorb the sound so it doesn't bounce back to your mic. But the sound also goes through. And if you're in a larger room and you're talking very loud, which is another point, everybody's overprojecting. You know, unless you're doing car spots or doing imaging or something along those lines, it's a conversational voice. You're just talking the way you're talking to somebody else. Maybe a little bit of push with some scripts. The louder you talk, the more the acoustics of the room come into play. So that's the most important thing there. Your voice may be a bit boomy, and that's because it's reflecting off of walls outside of the booth.
Right. It could be where the booth is. If you if it's tucked into a corner, now the corner of your room is coupled with the booth, and now you're getting some bass reflex off the corner. So yeah, if you can move the thing away from the wall, that could help quite a lot. You might try that too.
Yeah. I've done that many times with people with blanket boots. It's like, you know, maybe have it in the middle of the room or, you know, away from the wall.
At least not in a corner.
Right.
Corners are practical, but that's where the bass really tends to collect.
Right. Because you've got like a bunch of angles there, say at the ceiling where it's going off in two different directions there. And then you've got the ceiling and then the down, you know.
Yeah.
The waves will really collect in that corner and that will cause that. So, you know, or you could always put a bass trap up in the corner.
Might actually help that. Yeah. I've never put a bass trap in a blanket booth because normally, like you said, you can move the booth. Right. But if you're stuck in a corner, that may be what it takes. You might need to get something in that corner to suck up some of that low-end resonance or just use some cleverly tuned EQ to sort of tune it out a little bit because that actually can work quite effectively too.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've you know, that's the great thing about a blanket booth that's made out of PVC or something like that. Just move it around. Find the sweet spot in the room that's going to work for you. You know, think about it. There's no one-size-fits-all thing here. There's lots of different things you can try. And these are all things that George and I have tried 20 or 30 times in different people's rooms, like, move the booth. All right, talk, you know, okay, the noise is coming from this way. Don't talk towards the noise or don't talk with the noise behind you. Turn it around, talk towards the noise. You know, it's simple, you know, logical stuff. Second part of his question. This is an interesting one. I'm pretty sure there is. Is there a setting where I can change the speed of playback in Adobe Audition if I'm proofing a script for accuracy and want to do it quickly? I'm pretty sure you can compress it, but I don't think you could. I mean, if you want to, you can just slide along and scrub along.
No, I know you can scrub. I'm literally doing some Googling about it because I've never done it. I've seen, now they want me to log in to read what I just saw in a Google search. Okay. I'll go ahead and do that. Someone said, check in edit preferences playback and in the line saying JKL shuttle speed, select the half speed option. And now you can play anything either forwards at half or backwards at half speed. Or you could do double the speed too, apparently.
Yeah.
So J makes it play back. Let's see. L makes it play forward at whatever speed you choose. J will make it play backwards at whatever speed that you choose. So it looks like you'll have to try it for yourself and see. I've never done it, but if these Google searches are coming up with accurate information on the Adobe Support Community site, which this has been marked as a correct answer. This is from 2017. Adobe Audition's not known for removing features.
Right.
So I would imagine it's still the same thing now.
Yeah. Now, there's also software that's going to make audio editing even easier that we saw at VO Atlanta, and that's Hindenburg. Give that a look because that's got some really cool stuff that allows you to really edit with the script right in front of you, and it makes it very easy to do that. And I think with a couple of keystrokes, it just sort of edits with the script, which is really good if you're doing e-learning with lots of different slides or with audiobooks or something along those lines. But we'll talk more about that in a future show. last question from YouTube from Dave G. We can answer this one pretty quickly. I'm worried about AI voices. Hold my hand and tell me it'll be okay. Please, guys. There is so much written about this. If you understand the term uncanny valley, these companies keep saying that it's getting real close, and people say that they can, you know, imitate emotion. I'm sorry, I still don't buy it, and people are going to laugh at me. There's no program out there that can make the thousands of decisions that I can go on in my head when I see a phrase. How am I going to go up, go down? Programming that to what would be a model of my voice is very difficult.
Yeah.
Now, in the aggregate here, in the big picture, in the macro, we pretty much are all agreed that it's going to take away some of the low-end stuff that's monotonous, like AVI things, mm-hmm. phone answering things and voice systems yeah. like that. Audiobooks are going to it, but, you know, my wife listens to audiobooks, and I'm like, that's an AI voice. I can tell real easily. They can say that, you know, you see these things with deep fakes, like, which one is the real Morgan Freeman? It's not hard. But if you're not really trained for it, you don't really notice. Mm-hmm. I think that some of the low-end, low-paying stuff may go the way of AI. Certainly, yeah. there's a lot of YouTube videos out there that have gone AI. But I think it's important, and John Bailey was telling us this a couple of weeks ago, be ready for it. Be prepared. Know what it is you do well that an AI can't, and really try to exploit that.
There you have it.
And that's the name of that tune. All right. As Robert Blake used to say before he went to prison. We've got just a few more things to tell you about, but we'll tell you about them when we come back right after these important commercial messages. Don't go away.
You're still watching VOBS?
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. There's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products, and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources, and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions, bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, home studio setup, and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
All righty. You know, as a voice actor, everybody needs to have a website. At World Voices, we require that you have a web footprint. That means you need to have a website. But getting a website, if you've gone to all sorts of webmasters to say, yeah, I can build a website for you, it can take a while. You have to find a server and a host for it and all these things that perhaps you have no idea about. Well, a good friend of mine, Joe Davis, came up with something really simple, and that is a way to build your voiceover website in just minutes using a new website called voiceactor.com, and you can build your website in minutes. It has some really cool features to it. For example, it's designed to be mobile responsive. Your voiceover website will work on all devices, and it'll show you both views. It's easy to use. The dashboard is built to allow you to create your site really fast. George and I did it in 10 minutes and got sites up and running. Edit yourself. Their super simple editor lets you manage your own website. Always a pain in the butt that, you know, if you want to add a comma or change the background color, yeah, I'll get that. That'll be $50 for a webmaster. No, you have complete control because it's all templated. And guess what? It was built for voice actors by voice actors. We all put input into what makes it good. And that's what you need. You need to find a website that can build your website simple, easy, and you can do it for free to start out. That's right. They allow you to do for $0 a month. You get a site URL. You get to choose your website, the website template, change templates at any time. It's easy to edit, no coding. It's super duper simple. Go over to voiceactor.com and try it out. See if it works for you. If you don't have a website, you better get one now. Go over to voiceactor.com.
We are the World Voices Organization,
also known as WOVO. We're the not-for-profit industry association of freelance voice talent. VoiceOver is a complex entrepreneurial business.
WOVO is there to promote the professional nature of voice work to the public, to those already established in their voiceover practice,
and to those who want to pursue voiceover as a career.
Membership benefits include
a supportive and creative community,
a profile and demos on voiceover.biz, our searchable directory of vetted professional voice talent,
our exclusive demo player for your personal website,
our mentoring program, business resources, and our video library,
our annual WOVOCon conference, a fun and educational weekend with other members with the chance to learn and network,
webinars and great speakers, and weekly social chats with other members around the world.
If your world is voiceover,
make WOVO part of it. World Voices Organization.
We speak for those who speak for a living.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Ellis Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
Well, another hour has gone by, and look how much you've learned in that 1 hour. We shoved, it's like taking a fire hose and giving you all this information, lots of stuff in there. Next week on the show, another great guest. I have a couple of people that want to be on the show, and you're going to enjoy hearing from them, so make sure you're there. April, let's see, it's April 3rd, so the 7 days, so I think it's the 20th we're going to be on again, doing it live. Anyway, we need to thank our donors of the week, like Robert Liedem.
Thank you, Robert. We love you. Stephen Chandler.
Casey Clack.
Jonathan Grant.
Tom Pinto.
Shelley Avellino.
Greg Thomas.
Hey, Dr. Voice.
Antland Productions.
Martha Kahn.
949 Designs.
Christopher Epperson.
Sarah Borges.
Philip Sapir.
Brian Page.
Patty Gibbons.
Rob Reeder.
No, it's Ryder.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Shauna Pennington Bear.
Don Griffith.
Trey Mosley.
Diana Birdsall. And Sandra Manwiller. All right. Remember, if you want help with your home voiceover studio, look, you can watch our show, but you can talk to us each individually, and we can help you out with any question by going to one to my voiceover site, which is homevoiceoverstudio.com, or georgethe.tech, where you've got.
Well, we got a discount code. We always do, guys. VOBS fan 10 will get 10% off anything you buy on georgethe.tech webinars. Tech support, sound checks, studio, whatever you need, it's on there, and use that code to get 10% off. And if you're watching this show now in replay, we are just announcing the way to pre-order the new Sentrance Passport VO, and all that information will be over at the Pro Audio Suite, SUITE.com.
All righty. Need to thank our sponsors, of course. Without them, we would just have a show without sponsors. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
Source Elements.
VoiceOver Extra.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActor.com. And WorldVoices.org, the industry association of freelance voice talent. Join today. Join us in Orlando on May 5th through the 7th. Thanks to Jeff Holman for really getting it together in the chat room tonight and on Facebook and on YouTube and wherever else there's a chat room. And Sue Merlino for being here and making sure that everything looks like a professional TV show, which it sort of is. And of course, go ahead. Go ahead. No, we got to thank Lee Penny for being Lee Penny.
Yeah, but I stepped on you from the Lee Penny thing. But I want to say, if there's one more way you can support our show. If you decide that the Passport VO is for you, you really want to get this new interface, please use VOBS. When you're given a coupon code area on the website, when you check out over at Sentrance's website, use VOBS and we will get credit for that. And, you know, it's a way of thanking us for sending you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks for coming in or clicking in or tuning in or whatever they call it on the internet thingy these days. But you got to realize something. We talk about audio all the time. That's really what George and I spend a lot of our time doing, is making sure your audio sounds the way it's supposed to sound like. What it's supposed to sound like. Whistle. But the bottom line is, if it sounds good,
it is good.
I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S. Tech Talk. Tech Talk.
Yeah, baby.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk.